On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello there. Happy Wednesday. I'm George Adair, doing the show On Air with George Adair every Wednesday, going on almost 6 years. It's been a fun show, Michelle.
Yeah.
Doing it, of course, from our new studio with all these fancy big flat screens in front of my face. including your monitor. I'm going to move this way.
There you go. Okay.
We have really got a great show today. Great guests, I should say, to make our show great. That's Supervisor James Gore, Supervisor of 4th District, Sonoma County. And he's joining us live to talk about all kinds of things. I'm going to actually completely surprise him with our questions, because usually we have a script. But fortunately, I'm not the hard-pressing interviewer that some of our peers are, of course, here. We're going to talk fun things. We're going to talk about what's going on in the community. I know Supervisor Gore, on a personal level, we seem to frequent a lot of the same places. Hey there, Mr. Supervisor. How are you today?
Last time I saw you, we were watching Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah. You know what? We were in the theater. We had our families there, and both of us had procured a glass of wine at that Healdsburg Raven, of course. Great place to watch a movie. I love that movie. What do you think of it?
It's fantastic, man. My four-year-old was having a tough time sitting still, so I had to do the old dad screaming child out of the scene a couple times.
Well, the rest of the theater appreciates that you made that decision to move the screaming child out of the theater. Yeah, it happens. You know, I've got a six-year-old and an 11-year-old, and these movies are getting a little dark, aren't they, Mr. Supervisor?
Man, you know, we need a little lightness in our world. We need the silliness. We got the silly award with our family every night. And you think about it as a community too. I mean, we have, you know, we're coming back and rebuilding, and there's all kinds of updates on the numbers and where we stand and other things. But, you know, we also need to remind ourselves to lighten up a little bit. And I mean that in a positive way, is find things that are good, because we live in this beautiful place, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you sit here and talk about homelessness and housing crisis and, you know, all fire and all these other things, and you can swoon instead of rise. So
you really can. And we've spent some time talking about these various issues over the last several months, and you've always been really great to talk to our listeners about that. And you know, Michelle, you were mentioning that even right immediately when the fires were happening,
right,
that Supervisor Gore especially was immediately available whenever.
Yeah, it was the middle of the night when we spoke to you first, and you were there consistently for us. And I just want to thank you from everyone at KSRO for your help in being accessible and always being ready to talk to us.
Whew. Well,
that's a big one, right?
All joking aside, about politicians loving to talk, you know, on the other side, it was and still continues to be a very purposeful time in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're still, like, this morning I was with our block captains, about 18 people who represent about 2,000 homes that burned down in our district, and we meet once a week. And if anybody out there is listening and wants to be connected, please let our office know. But, you know, they're going through hell and back. And I looked at one this morning. I said, "How you doing, Rob? Are you burnt out?" He said, "Man, I don't got time for burnout."
Yeah.
And it's just crazy.
Sorry. A lot of people I've talked to are moving on. They're moving to the next step, right? And I know that's important. There's also a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking happening here. What, 8 months later, 9 months later. And that's going to continue to impact the lives of our supervisors and others out there. But, you know, I wanted to point out, I didn't realize this in prepping for our conversation, that you have, according to your website, you have 100,000 constituents in Cloverdale, Windsor, Healdsburg, portions of Santa Rosa, and the unincorporated communities of Geyserville, Fulton, and Larkfield Wickiup. And then you've just told me a stat that your constituents lost 2,000 homes. I didn't realize those numbers were so grand just in your district.
Yeah, in my district, I think there's about 24 in town. And so that includes Coffee Park, even though it's in the city of Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. Larkfield Wickiup,
yeah.
Mark West Springs Road, really the Tubbs Fire focus completely. And then in Susan Gorin's district, District 1, which is Sonoma Valley, there's about 2,000 homes that burnt down. Shirley Zane, which represents the city of Santa Rosa and shares that jurisdiction with the city, that's about 1,000. So the good thing is that since it wasn't just refined to one area, it has a lot of our focus on it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, David Rabbit and Linda Hopkins, you know, the diaspora, we call it, of the fire survivors that have moved into other areas, and setting up, you know, shelters during that time in those areas, and the support for them in those areas that were not directly impacted but were the first line of defense. You know, it was a true community is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I'd say like that is somebody asked me this morning. I was on the radio on KSRO with Pat Caria this morning, and she was asking me about the article on Sunday about how it said, you know, and I read it, and it didn't really say much. It said that we were, in the first 3 days, scurrying around trying to figure out what was going on, getting accused of stuff at the same time that we're trying to save people. And once again, just trying to figure out the world and do the best we could. So.
And they referenced, you know, text messages between you and your fellow supervisors. And I read the article, and it seemed to try and put a, in my opinion, it seems to try and put a bit of a negative light, and I'm not sure why they're doing that. You know, my impression is that you were available and you were doing what you could.
Well, you know, the big thing was, is I, at this point, it's not even worth it. I mean, there's articles that are written that are good and glowing. There's ones that are written, you know, halfway. There's ones that are written in other ways. You know, the headlines usually, it's funny. A lot of people, headlines don't always reflect an article.
No.
So, you know, in that case, that's what I'd say on Sunday. But
yeah.
You know what? Who cares? Who cares? We're grinding back. We're doing the best we can. You know, this is a process of imperfect, relentless progress. And you know, just be, you know, you got to look back and be proud of the effort you put into something. So that's where we're at.
I appreciate those comments. And, you know, it's good for listeners to hear directly from you. And third party, you know, hey, let's face it, it's reporting. I think it doesn't accurately capture everything that happened. It's a time we all went through. And you know, let's look to the forward. You were reelected, right? Congratulations.
No, thank you.
And
I don't think anybody wants my job, George.
Well, I was going to say it was uncontested. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is you know, I think that is a with all due respect to you, I think it's a tough platform to be on, and you are going right into it. And I wanted to ask you, what do you see different about your next term compared to your last?
Well, the first thing is that this issue of community resilience, preparedness, not just the response, but the community resilience and preparedness going forward is to me a full-blown calling now. It is not an item, an agenda, a priority. It is a calling because this is what we need to be doing, right?
Yeah.
You know, we live in the new normal, you know, extreme weather events over the course of the past 4 to 5 years. We went in the last 2.5 years from having a historic drought, worse since the 1970s, to having the most rainfall, historic rainfall in California, Sonoma County recorded history, to having the worst wildfire, most destructive in California history. And to me, that means, kind of like Governor Brown said, is we live in the new normal. So let's go. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's own it.
What do you think the role of this, and what do you think the role of California has in there's the discussions about how difficult it is to do the fire planning and burn plan to schedule burns to take down a lot of this fuel. What do you think California's role was in the disaster that we've gone through over the last decade now in Lake County and beyond in Sonoma County here and everywhere? What do you think California's role has been in that?
Well, the big thing is that California has been smacked in the face over and over again at different counties, but we're not learning from other examples. So I have to, as not just a leader, but as a community leader, but also as a constituent of myself, right, who lives here, I got to realize that, you know, some of us didn't wake up enough for the Valley Fire, you know. Lake County burned 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah,
and we came back and asked questions. Are we prepared? Are we prepared? And, you know, we didn't dive in. We took anecdotal responses. Yeah, we're ready. Yeah, we're ready. But you know what? You got to dig into this stuff if you're going to really figure out where it is and if you're going to be confident on it. So the first thing is that California-wide needs to make sure that we shake everybody who's not in our community and say, wake up. Don't be afraid. Be vigilant. Be smart. And so California's got a great role, I feel, in terms of, as a community, is starting to build that resilience, because that's what we do here. We're really good on sustainability now and on the future and dealing with adaptation of climate change. But on this one, we got to be top of the class. So, and on the other side, man, you know, since I'm on with you right now, we always talk about housing. you know, woo, we are. This is a crisis. And, you know, the survey we did recently that showcased how many people are on that bleeding edge of doubling up or living in on couches, 20,000 people, you know, that could fall into homelessness with the kind of housing market we have right now and the lack of affordable housing. Whew, we're in a dangerous time, man.
I've got a lot of bullets I want to cover with you after we come back from our commercial break, if I can, about that. It's they're essentially. Well, before I go there, this will be a good segue. I did some research, and my understanding is that about 25% of people from the Oakland Hills fires that were in the 90s, early 90s, stayed in their homes. And we're seeing this exodus here as well, Supervisor. Are you seeing any numbers as we start to rebuild of how many people have already sold parcels and what the community dynamics are with people staying versus leaving?
Yeah, and I'd have to look at this as different hubs, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. So for the first thing is that here we are 9 months post-fire, and we don't have a really good survey right now, but at 6 months post-survey, we got a really good one. Mm. And it showed that 80% of people still had not settled with insurance companies, right? And 66% of the people were underinsured to an average of $313,000.
Whoa.
Okay? So those are the numbers that primarily drive right now what is rebuild and how it's done.
Mm.
As I was with our block captains this morning, a couple of them looked around and said, man, dude, $300,000, that ain't chump change for us.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Mm-mm.
And so those are the numbers that we're really tracking, because right now, let's say the city of Santa Rosa told me that they have 700 plus permits approved for building, which is a great number.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost, let's say, 2,500 homes, let's
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good number for them, right? They're at like 22, 23%
mm-hmm.
already permitted. We're sitting right around there too at, I think around 500, 550. And, but then you start to look further and you say, okay, the Berrybrook neighborhood over in Larkfield Wickiup, 15 out of 32 homes, were back on the market, for the properties being sold. So they're going to have a lot of different neighbors there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look across the way at a really tight-knit community like Mark West Estates, and they're up at about 75% rebuilding, committed to rebuild, and rallying together. So there's, you know, it's really kind of, it's site-specific like a lot of stuff in Sonoma County.
It is. And so, folks, I've got to go to a quick commercial break. I'm on with James Gore. He's the supervisor for Sonoma County's 4th District. Can you stick around a few more minutes and talk with us, Mr. Supervisor?
Absolutely, man.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm George Adair. We're on air with George Adair.
On air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Hey, homeowners, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans. Now you can finally benefit from the housing recovery. For a free home value analysis, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Maybe now you can knock out some of those home improvement projects, like adding a new roof, kitchen, or flooring. You can even add solar with a cash-out refinance. Do you still have high credit card payments? Use your home's equity at a low fixed mortgage to get rid of that expensive debt and sleep well again. Bay Equity can help you celebrate the housing recovery. Treat yourself to improving your home or reduce your credit card balances with a cash out refinance from Bay Equity Home Loans. To see if you qualify, call Bay Equity at 707-583-8100. Again, 583-8100, or go online to bayequityloans.com.
Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
On air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
And we're back, joined by Supervisor James Gore, 4th District of Sonoma County. Thanks for joining us today, Mr. Supervisor. It's always fun talking with you and keeping it real, as we like to joke around.
That's the only way to be, man.
That's the only way to be. You know, folks, if you've heard Supervisor Gore on with me before, we always try to keep it a little light. But today we're diving into some issues, and I think it's important that we talk about some of these things. And one of the items that you just mentioned, which I think leads into some of my other discussion points, is that the underinsured issue of so many folks being underinsured by over 300,000. You said that survey was done 6 months after the fires. You know, the primary reason, in my assessment of that, would be because the insurance goes to pay loss. There's a loss payee endorsements on all insurance policies. And if you have a loan, the mortgage holder requires that they get paid off before the home is rebuilt. So if you owned $400,000 on your house and it was worth, you know, with the site value and the real estate value of $600,000, well, the lender's going to get all of your money to rebuild. And that's why you're so short. Isn't that the assessment that you would have there, Mr. Supervisor?
Well, yeah, because then, you know, even if you were able to go get a second mortgage, it's a building loan,
yeah,
right?
It is.
So you pay off your mortgage, and then you have to figure out the whole world of creating a building loan and how that building loan converts into a mortgage, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And what the percentage is and what the interest is. And so these people are having to go through a process of being either experts in insurance or experts in being builders.
Yeah.
And they never ask for that.
No, so, and they don't know that how to get where even to start. And I've had many conversations with people about this over the last several months. It's tapered off in the last month or two. I don't know what's happening, but they're not coming in wondering what to do to rebuild. So I think more and more are just going to start selling. That's my conclusion.
You know, we're finding a lot of people who are rallying around each other and excited to be moving back because they have more community than they ever had. And that's the crazy thing about like the Block Captains Network and other things is they're coming back like, God, we're closer than we're ever going to be. We're going to be eating dinner, Thanksgiving, potlucks forever going forward. And then there's the other side, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like that those same Block Captains will say, there's a lot of sad people out there who are starting to settle, but settle in a bad way.
Yeah.
You know, cut ties, going out, and it's really tough to track it. And, you know, one of the numbers that's really tough to track is the fact that 40% of the occupied homes that were burnt down were with renters, mm-hmm. and only 29% of renters had rental insurance.
Yeah, so and so many of them are leaving.
Are up a creek. Yeah, they're up a creek.
They're up a creek, and I want to talk about the demographic changes in the county and what role the leadership, yourself and your fellow supervisors, can have to keep Sonoma County, Sonoma County. And what I mean by that is, you know, I look at the stats. A third of all transactions that are purchases in Sonoma County right now, about a third of them are cash. Now, that's not insurance money going to buy new houses all cash. A very small fraction of that is. This is money coming from Silicon Valley, East Bay, Marin, San Francisco. And these are folks that are at retirement age or approaching retirement age. So it's changing the demographics of this community. Are you starting to see this as well?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And that's why, you know, somebody like me who looks at it, you know, I used to be so pro vacation rentals, but now in certain areas, like in the burn area and the rebuild, I'm proposing a ban on vacation rentals because we need people living in those areas.
Yeah.
Right?
We do.
You know, that like back in Larkfield and Wickiup, you know, we have a housing crisis. How can I look myself in the mirror and have people who are buying places and they're good people, but buying places and then renting them out for short-term turnaround.
Yeah, right? They're taking up the housing market. I mean, they're taking up the vacancy rates are going way down. And, and you know, this is more of an unofficial survey on my part. Only about half the sellers in these median home prices are actually staying here. They're actually leaving. And this is a problem because so many of the sellers are working class, both in the blue and white collar, you know, sectors of our economy. They're leaving Sonoma County and they're going to Sac or even further away out of state. What impact is that going to have on our community?
Well, if you can't house your teachers, your emergency and first responders, your police officers, you know, your working class, and we're not talking about others, you know, anything other than working class and affordable is, whew, you know, you got yourself out as a community. I don't know if you saw it recently, but I saw an article and I'd have to look back to where it was. And it had the highest cost of living of cities around the world. And Santa Rosa was number 19.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I didn't. I recognized every other name around the world. It's like Sydney, yeah. New York, you know, Zurich, Santa Rosa, number 19.
Yeah.
Holy God forbid.
Well, and what we have to do, and I want to talk to you and get your take on this now, is we have to make building easier. We have to get people in here that can actually build and afford to live here to build. So what's the plan? What are some of the initiatives you're working on here in your next term to help Sonoma County get through this and maintain its current working class folks?
So a couple things. Number one, I had somebody come up to me the other day and I couldn't agree with them more. They said, best way to build housing in this county is to help 5,000 people rebuild. Mm. Or have those 5,000 units be rebuilt for housing, which they were before, right? Predominantly.
Yep.
So that's a yes. So what are we doing? We have a fully streamlined permit resiliency center. We have all kinds of, you know, we have a mandated 5-day turnaround for some of our different areas on in terms of processing those permits and getting things done. We have we've had great responses from that, from the permitting side. On the other side, what can we build appropriately and where? So we've put on the table, and I've been a big champion of us taking our county complex, our county offices, mm-hmm. which are moribund and driven down and unfunded, and moving us into somewhere like downtown Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
This is us not as a government, but us as an employer, largest employer in Sonoma County. If we can drive, you know, 2,000 people working down into a city center and help instigate 4,000 to 5,000 units being built down there,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Up to 8 stories and other areas. Then we're using our investment for the best use. There's also a discussion about, is it appropriate to have housing over at the airport? And the reason that came up is predominantly because of the SMART train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would never have talked about housing at the airport mm-hmm. until there was a train station there. And mm-hmm. everyone talks about transit-oriented development. You know, you need to have people in areas where they can commute. But then we have other people who say, no, you shouldn't grow, you shouldn't have housing at the airport at all. It should be industrial. And so you got to go through that battle appropriately. But we made a commitment in the 1970s with the general plan of Sonoma County that was city-centered growth and protect green spaces. And we've done a damn good job at protecting green spaces, and I'm the biggest champion of that in the world. But we have not met the other side of the covenant, right?
We haven't.
Which is,
and density,
truly city-centered growth.
And density is really part of city-centered growth, right? We have to make it not just homes for people to buy. There has to be homes for people to rent. And if you drive up rent prices to, you know, exorbitant levels, and by the way, the answer in this guy's opinion, my opinion, is not rent control. It doesn't economically, it doesn't pencil anywhere. That's my opinion, and there's stats to show that. It's making more housing available for people to rent, because we don't need to turn every family into a homeowner. That is not necessary, right, Supervisor? We just need to have place people that are going to work and contribute to our community be able to afford to live in the community. That doesn't necessarily mean buying houses. It means being able to afford to live, and maybe that means renting a duplex or a fourplex. So higher density has got to be part of the solution, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. And you know, the difficulty is that if I was the king for a day and could write a law, I would write a residency requirement for certain new buildings, right?
Mm.
Is we need people who live here who are going to work here. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that under current federal housing law.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have deed restriction opportunities. Affordable housing is deed restricted, right?
Sure, absolutely.
We have new accessory dwelling and granny units that are deed restricted that don't allow them to be vacation rentals.
Yes.
Right? They got to be used for long-term rentals or something else. You know, we're having this issue about vacation rentals, and I'm supportive of many of them, but at a certain point, you got to ask the question and look yourself in the mirror. And then let's take it a next step, is that working with our school districts, is school districts are exempt from that. On school district surplus land, they can create housing that is for school employees and school teachers.
Mm.
And so how do we create a partnership with them to say, hey, could we create 1,000 units on school district land countywide for teachers and employees? Anything like that helps the other side of the market, right?
Yes.
So, you have to push it and you have to prioritize it.
You do. You've got it. And you have to remember that the migration of people out of this community will take away the economic robustness or power of this community. If we can't employ people that do good work here, those businesses can't compete and survive, can they?
Well, we're already seeing it, right? I mean, people are talking about how do we have the contractors available to come back in here and do the work,
right,
to rebuild our community. And, you know, the trades have suffered considerably. But, you know, the other thing that we need to think about is really we're talking about Sonoma County, but let's be real. Sonoma County, Napa, Solano, Marin, Mendocino, and Lake County share workforce, we share housing, we share transportation, and we share natural resources, right?
Yes.
So a lot of these things have to go to that level, because if Lake County just over the hill develops stuff in Hidden Valley or other side, a lot of people are coming from there to work here and vice versa. So, you know, for me, I really try and figure out how not to just get into my Sonoma County, but how I look at the partnership with the wider region and our North Bay to figure out how we get stuff done.
And that's why you're a great leader for us. Well, I got to tell you, I love having you on the air with us. Let's do it again. And of course, let me know about any great initiatives you have coming up. We'll be sure to highlight those on the air. Supervisor James Gore, 4th District of Sonoma County. Yeah, thank you, my friend. I'll see you around.
Take care. Yep.
Bye. He's a great guy. He's a great man. And, you know, he has a vision that he's very good at articulating to help. Mm-hmm. Help with housing. And it's not a politicized issue when we talk to Supervisor Gore. It's a, like, we joke and we say, keeping it real with Supervisor Gore, because I feel like he does bring it down to brass tacks. Great show. Folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll do it again next Wednesday. If you want to catch that show or share it with any friends or family, you can do so by going to ksro.com. Go to the Ask the Expert series. You'll find my shows there, podcasts. I think this was a good one, Michelle.
Yeah, it'll be up in about an hour or so.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Wednesday at noon. Until then, be good. Kiss your kids.